Are you living by faith or by works? Discover how Abraham's faith unlocked the promise for all nations, especially the Jewish nation, long before any laws were ever written. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. If you haven't checked us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org, I want to encourage you to do that today. It is a great set of websites. One educates, the other one activates. FPIW educates, FPIW Action activates. And if you haven't subscribed, liked, shared, or commented on these devotions, encourage you to do that as well. It really does help us with the algorithms. Finally, if you're a monthly partner with FPIW financially, we want to say a great big thank you very much. That's how we keep these programs going, because we're working on something very important. In Washington State, there's a lot of progressive ideas out there that are really taking us away from our biblical roots. And so we're working on changing our hearts so we can love our neighbor, and that in turn changes the public square. So lying to our neighbor, telling falsehoods to our neighbor really doesn't lead us forward. What we really need to do is be honest, transparent, be faithful, and be kind, thoughtful, but clear. And so that's what we want to do as we dive in. So we have been in a series called Abraham, Promises to Abraham. That's what we're going to look at today. And we're if you want to go back and read the entire account of Abraham, go to Genesis chapter 11, verses 26 through Genesis chapter 25. So Romans chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Because remember, we've already substantiated that he had faith prior to circumcision. He had faith prior to the Moses law. So it's always been about faith. "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about the wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation." So let's break this down. I like to use a thing called structuring on my teleprompter thing here. It doesn't necessarily structure it for me the way I like, but we'll try to see if we can get it to work out. "For the promise to his descendants was not through the law." So if you take those verses and you start breaking them up, "For the promise to his descendants was not through the law," number one. Number two, "but through the righteousness of faith." And so you can think about this. The promises of the Jewish nation and of Israel wasn't through the law, but was through the righteousness of faith. If those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. So if we understand something, if it's about the law, then we have faith being made void in our hearts and our minds. So whether you're Jew, Gentile, Greek, barbarian, whatever you might be, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, who rose again that you may have eternal life, and that he appeared. And so he gave evidence of his resurrection. So the promise is nullified, for the law brings about wrath. Where there is no law, there is violation. There is no violation of law. So I just want you to think through this, that whole concept that this is not about keeping the law. Faith came before that. And as Christians, sometimes we have these same type of practices. Now, we may not say it's the Levitical law or the Mosaic law, and we may not have it documented, but we have these unwritten rules that we try to follow somehow to keep us saved, to get us saved, and God's like, it's not about those things. So we have obedience out of love relationship with God, not the letter of the law. "For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'A father of many nations have I made you,' in the presence of him who has believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls the being which does not exist, and calls into being that which does not exist." So let's break this down. "For this reason, it is by faith." Why? "In order that it may be in accordance with grace." This is why it is so important that you understand that Abraham believed God, and it was faith that credited to him as righteousness because of grace. it's supposed to be in accordance with grace. If it was about the law, it would read this. For it is about the law, so it would be in accordance with works. It doesn't say that. It says that we may have faith, so it's in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants. See, this is what is important, because if it's based upon works, none of us have a guarantee. Now, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. And that's our question today. Are you of the faith of Abraham? Then it's by grace, it's by mercy, it's by what God has for you today. Also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham, as Christians, is our father. Isn't that powerful to know that we have a similar father to the nation of Israel? As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. So we know that Sarah's womb was shut up and that she was not able to produce a child for Abraham. We also know that God was able to call into being that which did not exist. And so we see that God used Isaac in a powerful way. With Christ as many, so I want to read, because sometimes when we read these verses, we begin to think, oh, see right there, the church is taking the place of Israel. And the answer is no. The church is not taking the place of Israel. Let's read Romans chapter 9. With Christ as my witness, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirmed it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. They are people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. So in the same book that says we are saved by faith, and that Abraham is the father of all, he also says that God adopted Israel as their child, and that that he made covenants with them and gave them his law. So think about that. The moral compass was given to Israel. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel, are their ancestors, and Christ himself was an Israelite as far as his human nature is concerned. And he is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Well then, has God failed to fulfill the promise of Israel? No, for not all who are born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. So this is why we say Jew, Gentile, Greek, barbarian, we all need Jesus, a fellow Israelite, to be saved. Now you might be thinking, how do I get saved? Confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. There's no formula to it. We just see in Romans, we are to confess and believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. So what's the point here? My point is pretty simple. Abraham was credited to righteousness by faith. And all this came before the law. And so when we get down to walking in the ways of Abraham, we have to ask ourselves, will you walk in the promise of Abraham today? What's the promise? He believed God would make him a father of many nations. He had faith. And then that was that moment of grace that God poured out. Faith was working through grace, not faith was working through works. Will you walk in God's grace today? Grace towards yourself, grace towards others, grace received from Almighty God. And finally, are you those who are of the faith of Abraham? Now, some may wonder, what is the faith of Abraham? Well, he foresaw the day of Jesus. He believed in the resurrection. He knew that there was going to be a payment for sin. Now, I believe that probably Abraham originally thought that was his own son. We do know that God provided that substitutionary lamb to take the place of his son, which is a foreshadowing of Jesus. So the faith of Abraham, I believe, is in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua. And so I would encourage you to have that same faith as Abraham, to walk in grace and to receive his promise today. That's what we need to be about today. You know, it's just really finding that place with God where we understand that God loves us so very much. Will you have the faith of Abraham? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace that are new every single morning. God, go before us in all things, surround us in all things, speak through us in all things. Let us hear your voice today. God, give us the faith of Abraham that when you speak, we believe. So first and foremost, that starting point is we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose again that we may have eternal life. God, second, we believe that he is sanctifying us. He's cleansing us from the inside out. And lastly, we are called to obey you, God. Because of our personal relationship with you, we want to be pleasing to you and honoring to you and bring glory to your name. So give us stewardship over our bodies, over our mouths, over our eyes, over our ears, over our hands, over every aspect of our lives, God. Let us be faithful in what you have called us to do. Go before us in all things. God, when you say get up and move, help us to get up and move. When you say sit down and listen, help us to sit down and listen. God, you are so, so gracious. Go before us in all things. Surround us in all things. Be our light in the darkness, our salt to preserve in times of decay. And we thank you for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to encourage you to go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.